Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Well, you made it. It's Monday. Aren't you excited? Get up, do that. What's that yoga pose? You know, you get out of bed and you put your hands over your head. Is it sunshine, sunrise? What is that yoga thing?
Mountain?
I don't know.
I just know
it's some sort of thing you're supposed to do when you get up in the morning.
Do the downward dog.
Ooh,
I tell you what, if I got up in the morning, did the downward dog, someone would help me, you know, I'd have to have a spotter.
The blood rushes to my head when I do that one.
Yeah.
Fall over.
I sit on the edge of my bed now. You know, I used to be a bit of an athlete, and I sit on the edge of my bed now, and I stretch, and I go, ooh, that's enough for today.
That's it.
You still do your neck exercise.
Oh, yeah.
I showed you.
Yeah, the ones you taught me. Mm-hmm. Yes, no question. Everybody good?
Great. Yes.
Dave's back. Dave's back.
Welcome back, Dave.
Thank you, Mayor.
I missed you, Dave.
Thanks. Oh, can I,
Steve, I missed you, too.
Can I?
I loved your mountain pictures.
Thank
Beautiful.
You.
Can I do a we screwed up thing first? You know whose birthday it was the other day? We didn't even mention it on the show.
Oh, I know.
$100.
And who else?
Who else did I miss?
Mark Carman. They share the same birthday yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Well, why did Carmen bring it up last week?
Right. I know. I knew about Mark.
I completely forgot about... Oh, so good.
So yesterday was Andrea's birthday?
Yes.
And I love Andrea. I've known Andrea for a long time.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's always been very nice to me, even when I was just starting out.
She's nice to you behind your back, too. She was always a fan.
She
and that's not
really
what happens in show business.
Yeah. I love her.
So anyway, public apology to Andrea, who always made a big deal about birthdays here.
Did she?
I always made her the cake.
She made Mary cook.
Yes, she did.
So anyway, we should probably call her later and apologize, you know, publicly.
I wished her a happy birthday on Facebook.
Me too.
Doesn't count. So, Joe, I know we don't have time to do anything on the show today, so let's find time to do this. We'll call and wish Andrea a happy birthday later, a day late. But then again, that's what we do. And when I say we, I mean me. We do birthdays later.
And you know, she's got that 8-to-5 job now, so.
I think it's better because now you've got more to make up for. See, I think this is a better thing that you are day, you know, belated.
Could be what you've said.
Exactly.
Thanks to everybody at Channel 9 for Friday. We had a good time at the back to school situation. Thanks for that. We are, of course, the last ones at the party. We got to figure that out for next year. Look how I'm planning next year. We got to figure that out for next year because, it ended at 9 o'clock.
It was a little depressing. Yeah, it was like the tumbleweeds were going through.
And then they pulled the plug on the radio. They pulled the plug.
They literally unplugged it like at 9:45. The crew guys, though, the TV union guys. They were just going, what the hell? It's unplugged everything.
Oh, yeah. It's over.
But they were packing it up. That was their job. They were packing it up at 9 o'clock. So we got to figure out a way to get off the air at 9 when they get off the air. Because you know what that felt like? We were the last ones at the party. We were the ones at the party who would not leave.
We felt a little unwanted.
Yeah, and everybody else got the hint. We didn't.
We overstayed our welcome.
We made Annabelle Lavelle stick around, or as I like to call her, Annabelle Lavelle!
And her daughter. Her daughter's awesome.
She's a funny kid.
She's just like her. Amelia was her name, right?
But anyway, yes, that's right. But anyway, thanks for that. And then before we get to everybody's weekend, Dave, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. And I missed all of you guys.
I don't think that's true, but I appreciate you saying it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You have a nice trip to Colorado?
Had a wonderful trip to Colorado.
A Rocky Mountain High scenic situation where you just went up and you took in the views and went, holy crap, this is beautiful.
Yes, repeatedly.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It takes your breath away. I've made no secret of the fact I love that part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just great. We just had a great time. Plus, this was a belated celebration of my wife's birthday. So we had the whole family there.
Oh, that's great.
Which
was really nice.
Happy birthday, Karen.
Yeah, getting to spend a week
blew
with the
that
kids.
One too.
It's okay.
<Apparently.
laughs> I think the Andrea thing is more important.
I don't think so. So we had the whole family together for a week?
We did.
Yeah, it's so funny, Dave, and you know this, Mary, you know this. It becomes like, you know, 10 years ago, you get the family together, you go, yeah, it's a week. But now you get the family together, it's special because you don't see everybody all the time.
Right, right, to get the kids together.
Yeah, it's nice. And everybody's schedules, trying to work them out.
Took a rafting trip together.
Yeah, how'd you do on those rapids?
Good.
I mean, you're
good.
Alive. That's
yes,
obviously
we survived.
Long.
No one fell out of the raft,
okay.
Which is it does happen.
Are you a strong swimmer?
I'm good enough. I could have gotten to the shore if I had had to.
What about if you bang your head off a rock?
That would have been a problem. You're okay. Wearing helmets, but
oh,
still.
You are?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, in the old days when I rafted, we didn't wear helmets. All right, it wasn't a raft. It was a canoe.
Okay.
And it was kind of a canoe in a lazy river, but same thing.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. What was your favorite part of the trip outside of family?
Well, I think it was the rafting
oh,
trip.
Really?
And
look at
some
you, thrill seeker.
Some of the hikes. I mean, I like going up some of the vistas.
Did you get to a point where you lost consciousness because of the lack of oxygen at the you know, the mile high level?
I acclimated myself to it, drinking a ton of water on the way to Colorado, and we drove, by the way.
Yeah, you're telling me this off the air, and by the way, this is always awkward. This is, you know, I always tell you to get your own show if you don't like this one. When you come in after somebody's been gone or after the weekend, I don't want to blow it off the air. Because I don't know how good you guys are as actors. So I don't really talk to you. So I walk in and, like, there's an awkward 5 minutes where Dave... Who am I kidding? There's an awkward 2 minutes where I don't ask Dave about his trip.
Did you notice
barely say welcome back.
Did you notice that, Chi?
Well, I feel like, though, when he walks in, he's got to say hi to everybody. So
yeah,
it's like,
true.
You can't...
It's a burden.
Like, I mean, you've got lots of people to talk to in the newsroom.
It's
and
ridiculous.
Then you've got to introduce everybody, get everybody going. I mean, it's a lot.
Like coal mining.
Just grunt at people. That's what I do.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you were getting around to it. You already said you're going to get to
it. Right, save
weekend.
It for the show. I didn't ask about your weekend either. How was your weekend?
I need a little moment to tell you about it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was good.
Wow.
It was good. I mean, if you're good, I'll tell you about it later.
Well, that's a good setup.
Yeah.
Oh, you were having that weird food experience or something.
Wait, hold on. Don't sell
Mary's
it up.
Mary's already blowing it for
don't
me.
Don't sell
oh my
it
gosh.
Up.
Sorry.
Steve, good weekend?
I had a great weekend, yes. I'll tell you about it sometime if you're interested.
Need an extra minute?
Yeah.
Mary?
I felt like all I did was work this weekend in my house.
Okay,
but I had fun Friday night.
Okay, but that
and then
was
Saturday
a,
night.
Did you go to the Queen thing?
No, I never got tickets. I was so...
Nobody,
this
no,
is a travesty.
I tried so hard. Even Dean said it over the air. And
well,
I,
usually
I think,
when we ask for tickets, somebody comes through.
No,
apparently
nobody came
nobody
through.
Wanted to give up their tickets.
No, and my son said it was phenomenal.
Oh, really?
He went.
Your Xanax got the tickets.
Wait, your son went?
Oh, yeah. My son and his girlfriend were going.
Oh,
my best friend went.
So they bought tickets a while back then.
Yeah, and they yelled at me. They said, we told you, Mom. We told you to get the tickets early, but no.
You know, what needed to happen was Mary needed to pull out that white tube top.
That's
then
exactly
ask for
right.
tickets. That's what needed
in
to happen.
In this day and age, baby.
You could still
I like
do
that.
It.
Yeah, you could
still
pull it,
pull it off.
You could pull it off.
No.
Viv, how was your weekend? Was it fabulous? Viv, keep that microphone in front of you. How long have you been in this business? It's been at least 6 months. Why can't I hear Viv? Oh, it's a total shock to all of us. Do I need something else turned on in here? Oh, there you are.
Hi.
How was your weekend?
It was great.
All right, good talk. Super Joe, how was your weekend?
Mine was good. Let's move on.
All right,
oh,
excellent.
My goodness.
How about you, Steve? How was your weekend?
All right, I'm going to tell you now. I don't normally do this. Yeah. I'm just going to take 30 seconds here to tell you about my weekend.
Oh.
First off, Saturday morning is all about Abigail and Isaac, the new one.
Abigail Grace,
or
Isaac Shepherd.
Isaac.
Isaac.
As Annabelle Paul calls him, Isaac. I sack, you sack, we all sack. But then Saturday night, went to a wedding. This is someone that my wife worked with. And very nice wedding, you know, in Huntley, which is right next door to me.
Ooh, weren't you threatening not to go to this wedding?
Oh, I tried a lot of reasons to get out. Not because the people were lovely, and it was a delightful wedding service and all that. I'm not a wedding guy. Barely went to my own. So we're there, and it's this nice setting in Huntley. By the way, Big O, if you're listening, and I know you're up at this hour, I was going to come by your house, but, you know, because you were right around the corner. But I was too busy protecting myself against tiny, vicious gangland
mosquitoes,
little black flies.
Oh,
like tiny, they were flies. I don't even know what they're called. Gnats, is that what it is?
Probably.
I mean, they love me. My head was like an old country buffet for them. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Were you slightly sweaty? Because I find when you're sweaty,
oh, yeah,
that's when
sweat.
The bugs are.
Let me tell you how bad this was. And it has nothing to do with the wedding at all. This is everything to do. This is how bad this was. I left the wedding to go to the nearest Walgreens, Walmart, anything to start with Wal, to try to find some sort of repellent. Because I was so attractive to these little creeps.
Were they biting you? Were they actually biting? Yeah. They take a big chunk out, don't they?
Yeah, and like in my face. Up my nose. A couple of them flew up my nose. I have a normal-sized nose, fits this head, which is amazing. But a couple of them flew up my nose.
You were so appealing that they were willing to go kamikaze up your nose.
I'm big in the insect world.
Yeah. I mean, so sweet.
No question.
Full of honey.
Eat outside, too?
Well, that was in a tent. You know, it was in a tent.
Oh, so, the tent situation.
So the tent thing. But it was a lovely wedding, fine wedding. And I'd say to people's names, but I don't know that they want their names on the air.
And they didn't have bug spray out or anything? Usually they do it outdoor weddings.
Like the citronella candles and things that were burning. Well, you should have called them. Well, no one seemed to be bothered by it as much as I was. So then I felt like a jerk because I'm the one going, holy cow, these things are unbelievable. And eventually, like a two-year-old, I went and sat in the car.
Did you?
What were you doing? Did you turn the air conditioning on and were you listening to music? What were you doing?
Playing on his phone.
With my phone, working a little
you
bit.
You know, they say that certain people, based on genetics or blood type or something, are predisposed to be more attractive to insects.
And then
you add the little glistening sweat aspect to it, and then you're just like a smorgasbord.
Yeah, it's like a lighthouse, really.
And what'd you put on your head?
Same thing I always put on my head. Nothing. That's the other thing. Sunny, really sunny outdoor wedding? Oh, I didn't have a hat. Yeah. You know, Jimmy DeCastro, when he used to run this joint, got me a cool Bruno Mars lid.
I remember that.
That would have worked for a wedding.
Your leisure suit would look good.
So here's the deal. Don't you think after I killed a few hundred of those little guys that the word would have gotten around to the rest of the creepy insect community? Hey, don't mess with this dude. He's crazy. But it was like they all got together for a meeting and they said, look, some of us aren't going to make it, but the rest of us are. We got to go in as a gang.
Maybe they were just surprised to see you there because normally you don't show up. You just like to be asked.
That's a good point.
What he was hinting at on Friday.
That's a good point.
Yeah. He likes to be invited, but he doesn't really like to show up.
In further news, Isaac is still cute and Abigail's great. So thank you for asking. All right, we got to do this and we're going to come back and actually do the top six at six. As the world continues to spin on a Monday morning.
Your head does look tan. Tanner.
Tan burned.
Yeah.
Tan.
And it's got a lot of little red welts in it.
Take about 47 showers. Helpful Texter says, you ever encounter the gnats again? Vanilla repels the gnats. We had a problem in June. Somebody told us about vanilla. We found a product called, and they sent me a picture, Buggins Insect Repellent.
There are a lot of natural...
Repels gnats and all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. But if it's vanilla, could I like have gone to an Oberweis and just slathered my head in vanilla ice cream?
See, now, I don't think the vanilla has worked for me. I feel like I've tried it before. I don't think it would work with your constitution either. I think you would be like a macaroon and they'd like want to eat you even more.
These are called no-see-ems. No-see-ems. They buzz around your face and you don't see them?
Well, the no-see-ems, those don't bite. Normally. Or the gnats don't really bite.
Except when they see Steve.
But the gnats you can see, the no-see-ums, you can't really
see
them.
Yeah.
It says you'd soap, calamine, antihistamine, and external inflammatories and anti-inflammatories, I should say.
A lot of stuff.
Apparently the pain has just begun. Top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, pedophile Jeffrey Epstein is dead. Apparently killed himself Saturday morning in prison. Lots of questions here. Lots of reasons to be suspicious. However, the President of the United States decided it'd be a good time to retweet a tweet from a known conspiracy theorist saying the Clintons probably murdered him. That seems like something the president should do. Lawyers for several women who say they were sexually abused by Jeffrey Epstein plan to file lawsuits this week against his estate. In the meantime, Pat Brady will join us later to explain the legal ramifications for this. And if you think Epstein and company are off the hook, far from it, apparently, from a legal standpoint. Next, the Mooch is back. I tell you, this guy has taken his 11 days and turned it into a career. Multi-millionaire stock broker Anthony Scaramucci, who served as Director of Communications for the White House for 11 days, is done with Donald Trump. He has been explaining Trump, excusing Trump. Now he says Trump's like a nuclear reactor that's melting down. said a couple more weeks like this, and country over party is going to require Republicans to replace the top of the ticket in 2020. Steve, you may know this. I don't, even though I consider myself an amateur presidential historian. Has a sitting president ever been replaced?
I don't believe so. I could be wrong about that, but I would think that would be a first.
Next, Universal Pictures canceling the release of The Hunt, a film that Trump criticized, in part due to its subject matter. The film follows a group of wealthy elites who hunt people in rural America for sport. Yeah, it seems like it'd be a good time not to do that. Seems like it'd be good to not put that out now. Next, American and United Airlines must change 31 planes' cockpit screens by November. U.S. officials found displays in certain planes were susceptible to radio signals. Mobile phones can still pose a risk. Yeah, for all of us who think, and this thought certainly occurred to me, this is nonsense. Why can't I turn on my phone? Apparently, they still have a real issue. This is not just the people in the cockpit telling you to do what you do because they can. So when they tell you to leave your phone off and they tell you when you can turn it back on, put it on airplane mode and do it. Because there are several planes that apparently are having problems with it here in 2019. Next, a Chicagoan named Jack Stone became one of the first patients to undergo spine surgery with a new robotic technology. Standard spine surgery requires more time and radiation. The Mazer X system creates a blueprint of the patient's spine, and the robotic arm guides the surgeon as they place screws into the spine. Incredibly intricate, amazing medical developments. And speaking of that, Dr. Mo's coming up next. And finally, new research points to a link between coffee/caffeine and migraine headaches. If you get migraines and you drink a lot of coffee or you drink a lot of caffeine and caffeinated drinks, the American Journal of Medicine says three or more cups of coffee, for instance, can trigger migraines in those who occasionally experience them.
Can I add one more to your top six at six? I'm so sad that Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth are separating. Less than a year into their marriage, Steve.
Really? It's taking a heart.
You're really, like, not as broken up about this as I am.
No, I'm not, because they're both lovely, rich people, and I'm sure they'll move on. But they did seem like a nice couple.
Well, they'll probably get back together. They've done it before.
I like them together.
I don't want to blame people, but Miley seems crazier than crazy.
Did I see video on social media over the weekend of Miley Cyrus making out with another girl?
Oh. Yeah, a woman. I don't know who the woman is.
Wow. Yeah. That I didn't know. No, okay, yeah. That's all. That's all I wanted to know.
They were at my wedding. They were at the wedding I was at.
Oh, really? Yeah. They were probably
They said, who's the guy that being bothered by the gnats? That is your top six at six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
America's only hope for a healthy future is Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Hello, buddy.
Hey, how are you guys?
I'm fine. How was your weekend?
It was nice. You know, did a little BMW stuff on Saturday, and then actually got to play 36 holes with the brothers yesterday, so not bad.
Good, because you're not doing anything but doctoring for the next week. We should tell people that you'll be at the BMW.
Yeah.
Are you there now, by the way?
What's that?
Are you there now?
Nope. Tomorrow. Start tomorrow. Today is just a, there's a pro-am today, so it's more of a fundraiser today, so they didn't need our services.
Because if the pro-am people collapse, they can call their own doctor?
Correct, yeah.
We still don't know about Tiger, right?
We do not officially.
Yeah.
What are you hearing, anything?
No, I didn't. You know, and I saw those guys yesterday, or on Saturday, but you know, it's one of those where you don't ask. You know, it's...
No, it's an awkward position to be in.
It is, yep.
Based on his withdrawal from the Northern Trust, I don't think he'll play this week.
Yeah, I mean, the injury that he's talking about is kind of a weird injury that can kind of stick with you for a little bit, and it would not surprise me that he would not play this week. But
so, the side of your rib cage, the oblique, is that where that is?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And once that's pulled, does it take a while to just recover?
It does, because think about it. Every movement that you have does that. You know, if you hurt your arm, we put you in a sling and tell you don't use your arm. But we can't tell you to stop twisting. We can't tell you to stop walking. We can't tell you, you know, stop breathing. All those things that use those oblique muscles. So it's not like it's one that we can completely rest.
Having said that, top 70 golfers in the world will be there with or without Tiger, and it's going to be a great week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the field's unbelievable. And, if anybody wants to see golf up close and personal, I mean, this is your opportunity. Medina's a great place to do it.
Yep.
The grounds are unbelievable, and Western Golf just does a phenomenal job. You know, Vince and Patrick, they just do a great job of putting it on a great event.
Yeah, and Kaz, too, the whole bunch of them.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
By the way, if you do go and you're thinking, well, I've never been to a professional golf tournament, do I just plant myself at one hole, do you walk around? I don't know about you, Doc. I highly recommend walking around.
Absolutely.
Not just following one group. You got to see as many people as you can.
Right. If you haven't been to Medina, I mean, the grounds are beautiful, and it's easy to walk. There's some hills, but, I mean, it's a beautiful piece of property. So the opportunity to see more than one shot and to see different aspects of the game, this is one sport that you can get within feet of the professional athlete. So it's actually a lot of fun.
The great Mark Slaby, who is out of Medina, says a membership there is, as always, steps up big time for this week. So anyway, it's going to be a great week, and congratulations to everybody at Western Golf and the Evans Golf Foundation. Going to raise a bunch of money for the Evans Scholarships, the Western Golf Foundation, the Evans Golf. Well, you know the Evans Golf thing, Kev? They're going to raise money for that.
The Evans Scholars Foundation and the Western Golf Association.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yep.
All right, look, back to school time. This is a high-pressure situation. You know Abigail Grace is going to preschool in a few weeks?
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Yep.
And, you know, you have little kids, medium kids, and big kids, and college kids all going back. A lot of pressure, right?
There is. You know, and you guys did the thing on Friday with Channel 9, and I thought, hey, you know, it's nice that you touched on, you know, the school supplies and things like that for kids, but there's also some health-related issues that we should probably at least touch on. So parents make sure that their kids are in the right condition, in the right tuned up, and make sure everything's checked before they, you know, head back to school.
Sleep. What do we do?
Well, it's interesting, Steve, if you think about it, for the last 2 months, kids have been able to sleep whenever they want. They go to bed late, they wake up late, and now we expect them to change on a dime, and that just doesn't happen. Your body gets into this normal circadian rhythm, and you've taught your body now that it's okay to go to sleep at 11 or 12 o'clock because you were able to sleep till 10 in the morning. Well, school's right around the corner, so one big thing that sleep experts are saying is 2 weeks, at least 10 days before school starts, get your kids on that school sleep and wake up cycle. So,
and put up with the whining.
That,
you know, I mean, they're going to tell you, oh, well, I'm not going to school yet. Put up with the whining,
exactly.
Because there's going to be plenty of that.
Exactly. Because those first, you know, you might say those first couple days of school aren't that important, but I tell you, those first 2 weeks really do set a tone. So making sure that they're awake and alert at that time is very important.
From sleep to food, I think you got two levels here, right? Because you got kids who eat nothing but junk all summer and the school year is more balanced. But then you also have parents who maybe are better at watching their kids during the summer, too. So what do you do about this?
Yeah, you do. You have the two extremes. You know, people don't understand that close to 22 million kids get a lunch, a well-balanced lunch through the food program. And then during the summer, they fall off of that. Parents may not be able to afford those meals, or they eat poorly during the summer. So getting kids back into school for many of them is great for their nutritional value. In other kids, you do really have to look at what have they been eating all summer and how are we going to get them back eating a good balanced diet. We have a problem with obesity in this country, but the balanced diet that they're getting through the food program, two things. One, it's a great meal. Two, it teaches them portion control and hopefully will help with the obesity problem we have.
Gee, what do you got for Doug?
This would actually be a good rule of thumb for adults as well, but especially for kids going back to school. You're saying they shouldn't skip their annual physical.
Yeah, gee, you know, it's interesting. You know, adults, certainly, right? We're looking for hypertension. We're looking for cholesterol. We're looking for all the things we look in adults. In kids, parents often go, my kid is super healthy. Why do I have to go and have him see the doctor? They don't do anything during that exam. And, you know, we do a lot during that exam, and really probably we do two main things, you know, heart and lung, and really just make sure that they're growing and their skeletal structure is great. You know, that's the portion of the physical exam. The other portion that parents may not understand is when the parent is out of the room, we're talking to them about other issues that may be going on. Cyberbullying, what do they have about sexuality? What about smoking? What about drug abuse? What about peer pressure? Some of those questions that kids ask, and also docs have a checklist to make sure that they go through those things to say, hey, if this happens, make sure you tell your parents. You know, it allows the kids to understand, yes, it's okay for me to talk to my parents about these things, or to talk to his teacher, to talk to someone instead of just ignoring the issue and having it build up.
When we come back, Doc, I'd like you to explain how to handle that with parents from a medical perspective, where you literally have to say to parents, I need a couple of minutes with your teenager.
Yep.
All right, stand by for that. Dr. Kevin Most. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Better knowledge means better health for you and your family. You can go to nm.org/healthbeatnews for health stuff you should know. All right, Doc, what about the idea that parents have to leave the room? How do you handle it?
Yeah, sometimes parents handle it quite well because parents will come up and say, you know, I'm going to step out, or we ask them, we say, you know, during a portion of the exam, the child's going to feel very, very uncomfortable. We'll have a nurse stand in the room with us, but, you know, we're going to ask that you step out. So that portion of the exam is usually a great opportunity for us then to also address any concerns that a parent may have. So that's the opportunity for parents to say, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you talk to them? You know, they have body changes that are going on that they may not feel comfortable talking about. They're hanging around with a group that I'm concerned about drug abuse.
So more often than not, you have cooperative parents who are looking for that.
Absolutely.
Okay,
you know, you have some that say, I'm not going to leave the room. Absolutely not. I'm like, that's fine. You're just going to miss out on the opportunity for some of these kids who really want to talk about something, or we need to get a message across to them that they'll be uncomfortable with their parent in the room.
The books that kids carry are very heavy. And, you know, back in the day, we didn't worry about this or talk about it. But that's why we all have screwed up backs now, or at least it's part of it. So what about these backpacks? They're good ones and bad ones, right?
Yeah. The big thing with backpacks is how much do they weigh? And people would be surprised. So really, the order is you shouldn't have a backpack that weighs more than 15 to 20% of your child's weight. So know how much your child weighs. You know, if your child weighs 80 pounds, your backpack should be about 15 pounds, 14 pounds. But weigh those backpacks, because two things are happening as we grow up. One is the structural nature of our body. So as we're growing, you know, if we just throw a backpack on one shoulder and it weighs that much and we walk a great distance, we start to see changes in the back, start to see changes in the low back. Two, make sure it's a good balanced one so that you use both straps. It used to be cool to only carry it on one. Well, it's not cool. So really put it on both straps so that the weight is evenly balanced in the middle of the back.
Vaccinations and visual screenings and other things related to this, all in the notes we post with the podcast. But give me a minute on cyberbullying.
Yeah, you know, this is another one that the doctor can do, but I also tell the parents can do. You know, when you and I were growing up, we knew who the bully was because, you know, he picked on kids right in front of you, or he picked a fight with somebody. You know, now the bullying can be stealth-like, right? A lot of social media bullying is going on right now, as well as regular bullying. You know, and I say two things to parents and to kids especially. You know, when you're doing that sports physical, you say to the kid, hey, you know what? Why don't you be a mentor instead of being a bully this year? And they see that in the media all the time. They'll see a professional athlete who'll find out about a kid who's being bullied and go to the home. You know, that makes news. You talk to these kids and these athletes and you say, hey, you know what? Rally around these kids. Rally around these kids that someone is deemed to be less fortunate, and act as their mentor. Protect them. Stand around them. And you'll see the bullies, you know, go off to the sideline and be more quiet. Great for the bully. They'll learn a life lesson. But great for that kid as well who's the mentor. He makes them feel better. And great for the kid who was being bullied, because now he has higher self-esteem as well.
It's Dr. Kevin Most. The notes are posted with the podcast, which goes up almost immediately after we're done here. WGNRadio.com and the WGN Radio app, great places to get the podcast. And, Doc, I'll see you out of Medina. Text me your location so I can get in the trailer before Phil Mickelson or somebody else takes your time.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
See you later.
Yep.
Dr. Kevin Most. And we're back with the news in just a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Mary, you'll be pleased to hear this. I'm anticipating napping in my car.
Yes.
Now, I used to be able to nap in my office, but you can't nap in your office.
No, not with the glass doors.
No, there's glass everywhere.
Everybody can see you napping.
Glass everywhere.
They do that on purpose, you know.
Yeah. See, I'm a germaphobe. It's like if I take a nap at Club 720, as we call it, who's been on that couch before me?
Oh, that's the thing.
Many of your coworkers.
Well, that's my concern.
You could buy one of those blue lights and bring it in and flash it on there.
Pretty sure I'll never, ever, ever, ever go there again. Seven 11 in the morning. Hi, it's Monday, probably where you are as well. Broadcasting live from the beautiful 18th floor studios, high above Lake Michigan and the Chicago River with fantastic panoramic views of the world's greatest city. Hi, I'm Steve, your radio friend. That's Dave over there. That's G. Super Joe and Vivian are producing the show. Steve's in the newsroom pretending he's listening.
I'm listening.
Marriage and Traffic pretending she's listening.
What?
Super Joe, why don't you guys come in and open the mail, if you would, while we talk about a couple other things. Ferrara Pan sent us over a case of classic candy. And then there's a mysterious box with no obvious labeling on it. V, can we trust you with a knife?
Shake it first.
Okay, be careful. Don't cut yourself up. All right, so G, you told me off the air you had a great weekend. I said, don't tell me about it till we get on the air. Why was your weekend great?
Well, I went to an art dinner that was founded by an Instagram...
An influencer?
Yes, but he's a legitimate artist and a photographer and a producer, but he has over 565,000 followers on Instagram. He started a new eating society called iEaters, and you can sign up for...
What is an eating society?
It's like an underground dining club type situation. So
you all share secrets of places you should go check out and see?
Well, no, it's just these pop-up dinners that are in these unique venues, and this past Saturday, it was in Michigan City, Indiana. What's in Michigan City, Indiana, you ask? The Frost House, which was a prefab home built in 1958 by Allside Company in Akron, Ohio. You could buy the home from Sears.
Yeah, Dave, you remember those home kits you could buy?
Yes.
So it is mid-century modern, full of mid-century modern furniture, the same appliances. So it's a total throwback.
Kitschy.
Very okay. Cool. Very groovy. Very in style. Very hip with the young kids these days. So we had this incredible dinner for 75 people. I was one of the guests. There was a mermaid in the swimming pool. Mermaids are really in.
They had a mermaid in the pool.
Yes, they
Who
had
did
it.
What? Just swim back and
yes,
forth?
Yes, she swam back and forth. She was glistening, glittery. It was
Isn't
amazing.
Isn't it hard to swim in that outfit?
It is. It takes a lot of strength.
Yes.
She's a professional mermaid.
So she is, you could literally hire her if you wanted a mermaid at your party.
Absolutely. And then there were also multiple drag queen performers. One of them played the violin. It was absolutely beautiful. It would have brought a tear to your eye.
Well, I saw a video. You showed me a video of that. And it's interesting because people are seated in these, well, it's similar to look to a wedding where everybody's outside. Mm-hmm.
And everyone had to wear white, so we looked like we were in a cult.
Right. And there is a drag queen beautifully playing the violin, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm surprised by that. Just because you're a drag queen doesn't mean you can't play the violin.
Absolutely.
And the people were looking at the drag queen like, I don't know how to respond to this.
Oh, well, they were just amazed. They were enthralled.
Okay.
They were surprised. I don't know why.
So apparently... we got a mermaid, a drag queen.
And another drag queen that did a Muppet show. Wait. Beautiful, delicious food created by a chef named Zoe Shore, who has a restaurant called Split Rail in Ukrainian Village. And the food was all throwback to the 1960s. So there were pineapple upside down cake, meatloaf, tuna casserole, but updated so that it was actually tasty and delicious.
You said a lot of things there with food that I don't remember as a throwback to when I was a kid. So what was the Jell-O thing you showed me?
Yes. Apparently there is a Jell-O company in Logan Square. And this woman, it's called Hello Jell-O. Hello Jell-O. Yes. Look it up on Instagram. And she does these vintage recipe molds of Jell-O, some of them with like hot dogs and peas, you know, the ones that are super gross. But the people did eat the ones that were made out of vodka and fruit.
Vodka, fruit, Jell-O?
Oh, yes. Like Jell-O shots, but she did full molds with fruit and lots of vodka. Like, I couldn't even
What was
eat.
The disgusting thing you showed me with hot dogs and like a pea statue in the middle, P-E-A?
But that was a vintage Betty Crocker recipe. Have you ever looked through one of those vintage Betty Crocker books?
I'm going to shock you, but no, I haven't.
Yeah. Yes. But, you know, it was they used to do all of these molds with all of these interesting, like, you know... What those weenie hot dogs? Those
yeah, basically
ones?
They look like split weenies. Which, by the way, if you have that, get to a clinic immediately. But the
Doc
split
most.
Weenies, which surround mm-hmm. this globulous statue like thing
of peas and carrots.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's an accident.
But you know what? in this day and age where you can't really be delighted and thrilled and find something new.
What you described is a visual party.
That's why it's called eye eaters, because you're eating with your eyes and then also with your taste buds as well.
Do you feel like diving in, though, or do you just like nibble on things because that's what people do?
No, I eat. I never not eat. I mean, I'm an eater. So
you're in great shape. Stop it.
No,
act like you're some. You act like you're some glutton.
I am a glutton.
So when you see,
I am. When you see, I have a problem, Steve. Like I can't. You know, everybody else stopped eating, and I kept eating.
Well, there was a lot of food.
Yes,
based on what you showed me,
it was a lot. It was delicious too. There was.
So by going to this, are you now in the cult?
Yes.
Like, will you get invited to other cult parties?
Well, I mean, you do have to. They're tickets. You have to pay to go. But it's so worth it because there's a lot of stuff that isn't very new. And this was a total novel experience. And it's because it's completely curated by this artist, Paul Octavius.
So it was fun.
Yeah. We're going to have Paul on the show. I'm going to book him. You got to meet him.
I'd like to meet him. I'd like to meet him. The money that's raised goes to the cult leader?
Yeah. No. Well, you know what? They don't even make enough money to, like, pay for the actual.
I wouldn't think. It sounds expensive. Mermaids aren't cheap.
Yes. No.
But you will be invited to pay again.
I will be invited to pay again. And it was a thrilling experience. And I was so excited while I was there because I thought, I can't wait to tell Steve about this.
Well, and here's the thing, too. If you tell them to invite me, I won't come and eat their food and I'll probably buy their tickets anyway. Huh?
We should totally go. They're going to have one at the Lyric Opera. So that's in the city.
Go and FaceTime me from there?
No, I want you to come and I'll bring bug spray so you don't get eaten alive.
It was me and my buggy head. All right, Vivian, turn that microphone on. You have opened up the mystery boxes that we received. One's from Ferrara Pan Candy. That's the big yellow box. What's in there?
My God, we have so many awesome things in here. We have Butterfingers.
These are the new Butterfingers.
Yes, new Butterfingers. Oh, my gosh.
They're Xanax.
They've got peanuts.
Okay, relax. You can't just look at each item. How many are in there? Give me a few.
There's just like a ton.
Just name them off.
Okay, so we have a double-dipped hazelnut Brax. Is that what it's called?
Brax, yeah. Brax candy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Brax candy.
Good Chicago thing.
We have Butterfinger. We have organic fruity chews.
Organic fruity chews.
Mm-hmm. And then we also have Trolley.
Do you have Boston baked beans?
Yeah, there's got to be Boston baked beans in there because they make them.
You lemon can, heads.
You can digging. Call it. You can call it. You know, if you want those, you can call. You can have all the Boston baked beans you want.
John was talking about the Butterfingers, remember last week?
Yeah.
So he was saying that they're a little bit creamier. They're not as brittle on the inside.
DeCoste told us about the Butterfingers, Dave, like he was describing the Mona Lisa.
Oh, I bet.
Did he like them better than the new ones?
He did, actually, yeah. What is in the mystery box, Vivian?
Oh, my gosh. Milk chocolate stars, Brox.
So this is more from Ferrara Pan.
I requested those, too.
Yeah, well, you don't get to have those.
Come on.
Those are from the Ferrara Pan people as well.
And then we also have Chips Deluxe. Hmm. This is chocolate chump cookies.
That's pretty wild.
Mm. And they just look amazing.
Are they chump or chunk?
Chunk.
Chump.
Oh. They're made I like by chocolate chumps. Can we get a chocolate chump cookie, please?
Hey, they're 20% more cookies.
Yeah.
In this box.
By the way, it doesn't say 20% less fat or less calories. There's about a billion calories in these two boxes. Now, here's the thing. We've created a major security problem. Super Joe. My office that I'm in for up to 4 or 5 minutes a day, you guys have to work in that office. If we put this candy and cookies and things in the office, there will be a break-in. What do we do about that? Do we need to get a Doberman or something to protect it?
That's a good question. You know, that was delivered on Friday.
So and it was, lasted?
So there was a box that looked like it would have a bunch of candy in there, and it was not stolen.
Probably because it had Mary Boyle's name on it.
Yeah, I'd like to volunteer.
Or afraid.
I'd like to volunteer my locker if you want.
Steve wants to. By the way, this Butterfinger does not seem that much creamier. I mean, it's still.
Oh, well, you're eating it.
Like, she's eating it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's still very brittle and crunchy.
Say she's a glutton.
While I was talking, I just finished off an entire bag of milk chocolate stars while I was talking.
Aw, Steve.
All right, so you guys come in, grab all the candy you want. And let's say thanks to Ferrara Pan Candy. They didn't send us a letter or anything on who we're supposed to thank?
They did.
All right. Who is it? Oh, the Ferrara team.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it easy.
Yeah.
to our friends at WGN, thanks for having us on. The opening bell to chat about Ferrara and our portfolio of beloved brands. By the way, just because this is credited to you, Steve, doesn't mean you get to keep everything.
I was waiting for that.
Chicago's Candy Company, we are happy to deliver. Enjoy these snacks. We hope to delight you in every bite, the Ferrara team. Well, thank you. Great Chicago company.
And there, Abby from Ferrara really helped us out with setting up the interviews and getting the boxes over here as well. Okay.
But, you know, there isn't anyone who works at WGN Radio who couldn't go out and buy all the Ferrara pan candy that they want.
But Dave, you and I come from a time known as the 80s and 90s where we got a lot of free crap in this business.
Well, that's true.
Now when something shows up, it's about once a week and it's never as good as this.
And there is something too about something free that it just tastes a little bit better when it's free.
It doesn't taste.
I used to get boxes of money. I'd turn it down because we had already gotten a box of money.
Yeah,
I
mean, plus, you know, it's not legal.
I'm thinking about, do you know about the ASMR? I'm thinking about doing right now.
Yeah, really? Okay.
How do you guys like that?
It's not bothersome at all.
Sensational?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's all about the sensations. All right, we'll come back in just a second. 722, we have the most valuable person on the planet in just a second. Vivian, please return that knife to where you found it. Stop walking around in here like some crazed killer.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Allow me to generalize. Women are really good at taking care of other people, not so good at taking care of themselves. That's one of the reasons that Kit Masood, founder of Blessins, joins us now, because Kit, you are the most valuable person on the planet.
Well, that's an honor. Thank you.
You are a nonprofit that helps give free mentorship and wellness clinics for women. You may have seen this in Bazaar magazine in the June 2019 edition. And I congratulate you on your success, but explain what Blessins is.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for having me on this morning to talk about the charity. What we do is we provide educational assistance for women, especially over 25. I found that there is a huge gap between women who didn't have a chance for an advanced education or higher education, like a bachelor's degree. And there's a lot of jobs out there that are trade skill jobs that pay very well. And unfortunately, a lot of these programs, vocational, tech, and trade schools don't offer very much assistance when it comes to paying for these programs. And these jobs, they pretty much place you in a job right away. A lot of these programs, you just need a certificate or a license or just some kind of training just to even go into a job. And a woman can definitely take care of herself and her family in any of these jobs. And so that's our number one priority, is offering these scholarships for women to go into these trade skill jobs. And so we started 3 years ago. We just hit our 3 years mark last month. And then in addition to that, we offer free women circles, which is our group mental health support group for women that they can go to every month for free, because as we all know, mental health is very, very important.
Mm-hmm. So, Kit, I know that you're talking a lot about the economic potential in women, especially we know there's a lot to work on still with the wage gap that women still are suffering from. But can you talk a little bit more about the social and spiritual aspect of what you guys provide as well?
Sorry, I lost you there for a second.
Oh, I said, could you talk a little bit about the social and spiritual services that you provide as well?
Yes, of course. So in addition to the scholarship program, the monthly workshops that we offer, we want to be able to teach and educate women about all the different types of jobs out there, in addition to taking care of yourself, the self-care and the self-love. Because as we know, women, we forget to take care of ourselves. So something like, for example, we had a workshop about gardening. For a lot of women, gardening might be what they could do for themselves, and it's, you know, mental health, and it's something that they can focus on for them. We all have, like, crafting or even sewing. So we do a lot of those type of workshops in addition to the development ones for professional reasons, like resume building, being able to do mock interviews, how to even dress for an interview. There's all these basic things that we don't realize or forget that a lot of us don't really even know how to do it because we haven't been in the workforce or just never was taught.
This is why you're the most valuable person on the planet, because you're getting it done every day. All right, so if the public wants to help, what do they do?
Oh, wow. Well, they can visit us on our website to volunteer. We actually became the official charity, one of the official charities of the Chicago Marathon.
Oh, excellent.
So we have an aid station. Yeah, we have an aid station that we have volunteers where we receive a grant for providing volunteers. And also, we have runners running the race for us. We also have lots of fundraising events. We have our golf outing, our third annual nine-hole golf outing at Sydney Marvitz in Lincoln Park.
Okay.
That's next Monday. Then we also have our end-of-the-year holiday party. We have tea parties every quarter for women. It's a networking event for women to socialize and also learn from other women entrepreneurs, women-run businesses in Chicago. We have, I mean, just go on the website, www.blessings.org, or follow us even on social media at Her Blessings. That would help us a lot.
You're great. Thanks for being on.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
There you go, Kit. Nice job. It's 7:32. We're back with the headlines. Pat Brady in a few minutes. How about the least valuable person on the planet? Jeffrey Epstein is dead. The question is, how did he die, and was someone else involved in it? And now what happens to the victims, and what happens to the case? It's a hot mess, the legal side of that, from Pat Brady coming up here. But first, the headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is another example of our president using this position of public trust to attack his political enemies with unfounded conspiracy theories.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
To Beto O'Rourke on CNN, you know, the easy go-to for network news is to go to the presidential candidates. The victims need to be heard from. And justice needs to be served, regardless of the fact that Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in his cell on Saturday morning. Now the question is, what happens to the legal case? Where does it go from here? And is his best friend and self-described procurer of young women for him, former girlfriend as well, Ghislaine Maxwell, joins us. Not joins us. She wouldn't do the show. Is now in the scope of really the center of this entire thing because she knows everything. Pat Brady joins us, former prosecutor and, of course, political guru here on the show all the time. Hi, Pat.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Well, this this Epstein case is completely bizarre. What was your reaction when you heard what happened?
It's bizarre. I thought that he would be under pretty heavy suicide watch as because he tried to kill himself before, but the more that comes out in the press, apparently, that particular correctional institution had all kinds of staffing problems, and but there's a big investigation going on because that should never happen.
The suicide watch was every 30 minutes a guard was supposed to check on him, but also he was supposed to have a cellmate, and you would think somebody on him would be on lockdown by himself, but the cellmate in particular would be able to see if he was up to something and theoretically report him. No cellmate, no guard check, not on suicide watch. Does this mean, in all likelihood, it gave him room to kill himself? In other words, could he have paid these guards to go away? Or is it not so suspicious and maybe he just pulled it off?
Well, a couple things. You're talking about the cellmate, too. He previously tried to kill himself like a month ago. And his cellmate actually pulled him down. His cellmate is a cop who's on trial for some bad things in New York. He saved him the first time. No cameras, no guards watching every 3rd minute. Yeah, it makes you think that he paid the guards off to let him kill himself, but where's he going to get money in jail? He's sitting in jail, so it's pretty tough for him to make a promise. I'm going to kill myself, but how am I going to get you paid afterwards? It's a pretty big leap in logic to say that he could have done that. Now, I give him a list of people that were in this investigation or supposedly supplied these young sex slaves to. Yeah, that you'd think that there might be a lot of people that want him dead, but, man, it's really a stretch to see how he would pull it off.
There's a lot of rich folks, from Prince Andrew to the former governor of New Mexico to Bill Clinton to Donald Trump, who have all had a past with Epstein. And then the rumor mill starts, fueled in part by Trump, who seemed to indicate that he believed that the Clintons had him murdered in another proud moment for the president of the United States. So that has to be looked at, not the Clinton piece, but the fact that some of these people who have already been named, was this some sort of mob hit?
Yeah, that was my first reaction. I heard it Saturday morning. I go, maybe he had got hooked up with the mob, which makes sense. You could get to a jail guard. That was my only theory that made sense. But the president tweeted out this conspiracy stuff on the Clintons. He tweeted it out. One of his cabinet members tweeted it out. Fox News people were tweeting it out. And all it did is legitimize a fringe, crazy theory, conspiracy theory. When the president of the United States does this, it takes it from nutty talk to maybe legitimate talk. So I don't know what he was thinking doing that, but it certainly has made a mess of things today.
Well, you could certainly stop every sentence with, I don't know what he was thinking, I suppose. The Clintons in the past have had this type of conspiracy stuff go on, going all the way back to Whitewater. What was the name of the guy that killed himself?
Vince Foster. There's a whole website or a series of websites on the Clinton conspiracies that everybody that worked for the Clintons has died, mostly by suicide. But the case you cite there, Vince Foster, was one of the first. He was a friend of the Clintons from Arkansas, real close with Hillary Clinton. I think he might have even been in the law firm with her. Came up, they gave him a big job in the White House. And if you remember, the Clinton White House was kind of a disaster the first couple months. They had Travelgate, all these problems, ethical and legal problems. And Vince Foster took that all upon himself, and he went up on the other side of the river in D.C. and shot himself. And the reason I know a little bit about that, my office mate at the Justice Department when I was there at the time was handling the case. I read most of the police report. Vince Foster killed himself, unfortunately, tragically. But the Clintons didn't kill him, but this started this whole theory on the Clintons that they're somehow murderers.
Yeah, and there was this, I feel ridiculous even repeating it, but there was this idiotic thing about Hillary Clinton during the campaign that she was running some sort of pedophile ring that was out there. Like, the bottom line is, common sense has to apply at some point, and the more prominent you are as a person, the less chance you have of committing a hideous crime that nobody knew about. So could Bill Clinton have been involved with Epstein on some very bad levels? Yeah, we don't know the answer to that yet. Same as Donald Trump. But we do know Epstein's dead, and it would seem to be the one person that knows most of the secrets is his former girlfriend and daughter of the British publishing magnate, died under suspicious circumstances back in the early 90s, a woman named Ghislaine Maxwell. Is she the go-to now?
Yeah, I think there's two or three. There were the ones, the unindicted co-conspirators from the Epstein indictment, that are probably going to be now the focus and have all the information. It does hurt the case that Epstein's gone to the ringleader as far as any information you're going to get from him, but it does kind of loosen things up as far as getting evidence, because Epstein's gone. There's nobody to assert Fourth Amendment standing on any search warrants. So everything that was his, the government can get to, and then they need to keep investigating and talk to these other women that were involved. And the Southern District of New York has said they're doing that. Interestingly, though, it's not coming out of the sex crimes unit of that office. It's being handled by the public corruption unit, which makes me think there might be elected officials, or at least they think elected officials may be involved down the line. Hmm. Hmm.
So, Pat, if you were prosecuting this case, what approach would you take? What would you be narrowing in on, or who would you be narrowing in on?
Well, in any case, when you do an investigation, you go where the facts take you. So you gather your evidence and at some point make a decision whether or not people should be charged or not be charged. So it's not really where you want to go with it. You just follow the facts. And it appears here there are a lot of facts that we don't know about and a lot of evidence that we haven't necessarily firmed up. So it'll take a while, but it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out in the end.
And there's civil suits against his estate and all of those things. I suppose all that could take years, right?
Yeah, no, he's worth allegedly $500 million, but they can civilly forfeit a lot of those assets through these proceedings and take all that money away. But it's really, if you start re-diving into the indictment and some of the facts of the case, it's really a disgusting case. And this guy was really a bad human being, and the things he did to these women who were underage, and he knew they were under age 14 when he was doing it. He was a sick guy.
The worst, the absolute worst. And the world's a better place because he's gone. But these victims deserve justice, and obviously the rest of us deserve answers. And for all of the rich and powerful that benefited in their own twisted way from this guy, they should all go down in flames. And I hope they are revealed. The question is, will they be? By the way, including Alan Dershowitz, one of the most obnoxious little creeps that's ever crossed your TV screen, who for the last 20 years has been held up as some legal icon, who is now out there talking about the age of consent and when is rape actually rape, and scrambling so hard to hide his own ties to Jeffrey Epstein. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. He's really gone to the dark side in a lot of this. I always respected him as an attorney and as a legal mind, but he seems to be for sale to the highest bidder right now.
Later in the week, you'll rejoin us. Thank you, Pat Brady.
We will join you from Washington, D.C., Steve.
That's right. Pat Brady going live to D.C. to report from the White House. Either that or he's dropping off his daughter at a new job. But let's say you're reporting from the White House. How about that?
We'll do that. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. That's Pat Brady.
So gross to think that he was a teacher as well, initially, in his career. Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a teacher.
Well, that's about the worst job you could have for a pedophile, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah. He doesn't deserve to be a conspiracy theory. He doesn't deserve anything. His name should not be continuing on.
Didn't Epstein get that teaching job with the help of Attorney General Bill Barr's father?
That's what we heard. By the way, the other big conspiracy theory that's popped up in the last 12 hours is that Bill Barr, the Attorney General, made a visit to Epstein's prison in the last 2 to 3 weeks. The Attorney General doesn't swing by prisons as he's going places. So I'm guessing it's nonsense, but there is a thousand dotted lines that come from this, and they all have to be colored in. It's 7:52. Stand by. Super Joe, you got a question for Sox tickets coming up?
Sure do.
All right, stand by for that. You can win Sox tickets in just a moment. Well, you know what it's time for, don't you?
I've missed this.
Every Monday, Super Joe asks a super trivia question about the White Sox. We give away tickets. Not one, not two, not three, but four tickets, Super Joe. This is to the White Sox and the Rangers, Thursday, August 22nd, 7:10 p.m. All right, Super Joe, what's your question?
So tonight, the Astros come to town, and I'm sure everybody remembers 2005 when the White Sox swept the Astros in the World Series when the Astros were part of the National League.
That's why I'm pitching to the White Sox a new slogan as they rebuild and head back to the World Series in maybe 2 years. It's wait till 2005.
I don't think that'll go great, but
I think it's
back
got
to
some
the future.
Poetry to it.
Yeah. So the White Sox hit 6 home runs in the World Series against the Astros. Name one player that hit one.
Well, that should be doable.
Yeah, very doable.
6 home runs in the World Series. Name one that did. Now, you didn't specify that means one player could have hit more than one, right?
One player did hit more than one.
Okay.
That's not doable for me.
No, me either, but others. 312-981-7200 is the number. Dave's just back from Colorado. He said he had a great trip. But you drove?
Drove.
You know there's planes that go both ways.
Yes. In fact, my kids flew. We drove.
Why'd you drive?
Just for the heck of it.
Seemed like fun?
Yeah. Yeah, just a road trip.
How long? How many hours?
About 14, 15 hours.
Well, probably. It's like driving upstate New York.
You know, the speed limit, Steve, when you get into Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Unlimited?
Not quite, but 75.
Okay.
Right through eastern Colorado till you get to Denver.
Are you a lawbreaker? I mean, will you go 90 or 75?
No, never.
Only in Woodstock.
Oh. Doth I protest too much?
Yeah. I thought you would be. Yeah. I thought that was your secret outlet.
Not at all. No, it was just great.
Criminal.
We listened to a
He's
book.
A complete criminal.
Listened to a book on tape. Couple of, you know, and just
you would actually be the best criminal ringleader because no one would suspect you.
Yeah,
no.
He's Kaiser Sulze.
That's right.
All right, so long trips. We got less than a minute here, but long trips. Mm-hmm. What's your advice?
Books on tape.
Books on tape.
If you can't get WGN radio, where right. sometime when you get to Nebraska, it's tough to pick us up.
Well, there's some crap we do that you shouldn't listen to anyway.
but you know, break it up a little bit.
Okay.
You know, stop. Spent one night on the road each way.
And where'd you stop?
In West Omaha.
No, I mean
you can't beat fun in West Omaha.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Road snacks.
Super Dave will do a podcast about travel tonight. We'll come back and get your news in just a second from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah.
Whoops, my mic was on. Sponsored by Ravinia, Dean Richards. More on entertainment. I was listening to Dean yesterday on his own Dean Richards show. And that Dave Schwann guy that he's with. Schwanny. it's an entertaining show. I would listen to it. Dean's not there, is he?
You said you did listen to it.
He's not listening.
I guess.
All of this for you kids listening, you're going, well, Steve's talking slowly and appears to be pausing a lot. There's a pause so Dean could jump in. So.
Super Joe is here.
Hello. Hello.
There, we fixed it.
Yay! Hello. It's Dean!
Hello.
I figured out what the problem was. You want to know what the problem was?
What?
There's two possible places that remote folks like yourself could come up from other locations.
Yes.
I had paper over your button, and I thought your button was already working.
Oh, see?
I think it's amazing you handle all those buttons.
Thank God I'm not a pilot.
You should be working in NASA.
Yeah, I really should.
I also think it's amazing, G.
Yeah.
For probably different reasons, though.
Super Joe has a very small window of cursing. Like, he comes in here, he fixes something, and he walks out, and the door closes, and he's only got, like, 12 feet before he's visually accessible to me again, mm-hmm. where he's got to pretend he's not, pissed off.
He's very polite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would he be pissed off?
That's true. I'm delightfully dingy. Listen.
Did you have fun on Friday here at the
very good time.
At the WGN TV station?
But you know what we're talking about is we got to shut that thing down at 9 o'clock because we were the people at the party who wouldn't go home.
Yeah.
All you guys left.
Yeah.
Everybody was done. TV shut down at 9, back and did their little TV thing in the studio that they do. And we're out in a parking lot where angry union crew are unplugging things.
Yeah.
Trying to clean up, and then here we are, the people that overstayed.
Woo!
I don't know why we don't continue until 10 o'clock.
I don't know either. It's not like that 9 o'clock show's winning any journalistic awards. Come on.
We make the kids get up so early, and then, yeah.
It would make sense.
We're done at 9.
Show's on until 10. It seems like we would just continue until 10.
Right. Something you had to hurry back inside.
It's because Jack Sparrow had another engagement.
Who is that dude, by the way?
He shows up at everything.
He looks just like Johnny Depp.
Some guy who dresses up like Jack Sparrow.
Slightly creepy.
He does look like
And the voice is good, too. And much like a pirate, I don't think he's showered in a while.
No. So. He shows up at everything.
The impression is great. He's got dead on.
Absolutely.
Is it an impression?
That's what I
think it's actually him. I mean, Johnny Depp's movie career isn't what it used to be. Maybe it's Johnny Depp.
Yeah. He walks like him.
I always got along with him. Maybe he came by to say hello.
Does he talk? Possible.
He did talk, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it just seemed every time we were on air, that's when he would come over and crouch over and then stare at everybody.
You know, funny, mostly the women like you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mostly the girls. Took it like you, took it like a Barry, took it like at
he was creeping me out, but then I wanted a picture of him, and I couldn't find him. I'm like, really?
Mary's torn.
These are the mixed signals, Dean, that make men crazy.
You cannot get pictures with people and also have restraining orders at the same time.
Exactly. Oh,
it's very confusing.
It sends mixed signals.
Hey, Dean, it's State Fair Week.
You're telling me?
Yeah.
Boy, could I go for a deep-fried pickle right now.
Funny you mention that. I have done some research, and I'm looking around the country for the worst crap they're serving at State Fair.
Worst State Fair food?
Fried butter in Iowa. Fried butter. On a stick, they dip it in cinnamon batter.
I guess.
Fried pig ears in Minnesota.
What?
You heard me. the guy named Charlie Torgerson, he owns 5 Famous Dave barbecues.
Mm-hmm.
He got famous for his chocolate-covered bacon. He was one of the first to do that.
That sounds good.
He followed up with peach glaze pig's cheeks, and now it's frying up pig ears to look like curly fries. I mean, I don't need that. You know why I don't need that, Dean? There's other food.
You know what? The Purple Pig, right on Michigan Avenue, they do pig ears as an appetizer.
Make it right.
They slice it up, and it's really crispy, and then it's like a chicharrón. It's pretty tasty.
Is it like those snacks that you can buy in the potato chip aisle?
A little bit like that, but a little bit fancier.
Is that chicharrón? Is that what that is?
Crispier.
Couldn't I just order some Funyuns and call it a day?
Some Bugles.
We can walk Bugles, over there after the
Bugles
show.
Bugles are fun because you can put them on your fingers.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And then you dip them in the Lipton onion dip mix.
Here's one I didn't know existed. A fried ice cream cheeseburger.
Fried ice cream cheeseburger.
Starts with a regular burger. This is a Florida State Fair. Starts with a regular burger, but nestled under the toasted bun, perched atop a pickle, lettuce, tomato, bacon, and cheese, is a slab of ice cream coated in cinnamon and cornflakes that's taken a dip in a deep fryer.
Too much.
Wow, cornflakes.
That's too much. I'm fine with all of that as 3 separate entrees. I don't know if I want them all together.
Did you know that you can fry Kool-Aid?
Did not know that.
Wow.
California State Fair. The Kool-Aid balls are kind of like donut holes.
What'd you call me?
I called you Kool-Aid balls. That was your name when you played in the NBA, wasn't it? Kool-Aid balls? And here in Illinois, fried alligator on a stick.
Oh.
It's a favorite at the Illinois State Fair. Deep fried and skewered teriyaki style. So if you're wondering what happened to
Chance the Snapper.
No,
Chance
the Snapper. He's safe.
He's on a stick at
no,
the fair.
No, he's not. He's at a reserve in Florida somewhere.
Yeah.
You have alligator at the State Fair. You're eating Chance.
Right. And my little dog Cleo is happily running on a farm somewhere.
Coming up, as Dean got some more on entertainment news for you. Turns out Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth are both available.
Who could have seen this coming?
I'm devastated,
Dean. All I
Dean.
Can keep thinking.
Ladies and men and others.
She's a pansexual. I was explaining, Dean, I was explaining to Steve what pansexual meant
now, as I understand
during
it,
the
Dean,
commercial break.
It means you dress as Peter Pan and
no.
go to clubs. Is that it?
I thought it had something to do with being nonstick.
Oh, that's a pansexual. Oh. That's completely different.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but you know what? It could come in handy. BTS taking a little break. The Hunt won't be released. That's a movie that was going to come out. John Legend doing another good thing. John Legend seems like just a good guy.
He's a good guy.
And so's Gaga. Gaga doing some good stuff as well. So we'll get to all of that coming up. How was your weekend?
It was very nice.
As I mentioned, I heard you and Schwana yesterday.
We the TV station has a float in the Bud Billiken parade. Back to school parade, so
just another 7 day week for you.
We were, it was a, yeah, I guess it was a little busy, but it, you know, it's fun when you're having fun. Do you, are you counting days, Ryan?
Yes, absolutely.
We are,
I'm having so much fun. This is day six. I'm gonna have
let
more
me
fun.
Put it this way. Bozo was on the float.
I
hung out
sure,
all day Saturday on the float with Bozo. So.
You and your old big shoe fetish.
So that's you know, that was a lot of fun, and it never ceases to amaze me how crazy people still go for Bozo. I mean, he's a beloved character and everything, but the show hasn't been on the air in almost 20 years. And
well, not regularly. It's in your head every 4 hours.
Well,
but Dean, they could be going crazy over you and not Bozo because
no,
you're standing
not.
Next.
No, they're not. No, they're not. No, pretty sure it's the clown. But people they go wild when they see Bozo and even little kids. I mean, adults, I get it. You grew up with the Bozo show.
You're going, little kids who never saw Bozo.
Little kids are like, Bozo! And, you know, they're like clamoring around Bozo, and he's shaking hands with everybody and dancing. Bozo jumped off the float a couple of times and was dancing with people in the street.
Does Bozo do like a Matrix thing where he jumps off in slow motion and flies sideways?
He does. By the time his shoes land on the floor, it is slow motion.
You know, G is trying to learn the various quirks and idiosyncratic behaviors of everybody affiliated with this show.
Yep.
She probably didn't know that you have a clown thing. Dean loves the clowns.
Oh, I think I did know that. I knew that.
You know that song, Sending the Clowns?
Mm-hmm.
It's Dean's ringtone.
That was written for me.
Well, I see, I'm the direct opposite. So.
Oh, you're afraid of clowns?
A little, yeah. So.
So you've never been around Bozo.
You know what you need? Bozo's clown immersion
nice.
Therapy.
No, I don't. They.
Bozo
I've
is a
done
nice
that
clown.
Once, and
Bozo's
it was
a very nice clown.
Not pleasant.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
I would never do that.
There are some people along the route that are terrified of clowns and literally go screaming, running.
No, I won't scream, but I don't need to have an extended conversation with a clown.
No, we're on the float going down the street, and somebody on the sideline
yells
behind a metal fence. They see Bozo, or they see the clown, any clown, I suppose. Mm-hmm. They see it, they scream at the top of their lungs and go running away. And Bozo leans over and goes, "Thanks, Stephen King."
Well, it is kind of his fault, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, that's
Bozo's a nice clown.
In Texas, they have fried picnic on a stick.
What's that?
Fried chicken topped by tater tots, topped by pickles, all on a skewer.
Now that I would like.
Man,
with a little hot sauce poured over it, that'd be good.
What if it was served by a clown?
No. Definitely not.
Hey, I've got a tater stick for you.
Oh, God. Wow. I didn't know that happened. That was good. We'll be back in a moment. First at 8:21 and then more on entertainment.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972.
Dean, you're outside a lot. You go outside. I was at a wedding Saturday night. I got attacked by these no-see-em little flying buggy black things.
Ooh, that's gross.
A lot of them. And they like me best because I was, you know, it was warm. And I may have been sweating just a little.
Yeah, I'm sure you look delicious.
Yeah. I just heard one of them go, Old Country Buffet. Come on, fellas. So, anyway, nice wedding.
That was
lovely people that got married. Nothing though coming on the wedding. It's all about me and my head.
Yeah. I was at a lovely outdoor wedding once that was taking place at the Shedd Aquarium.
Okay.
Which was very nice. And we're, you know, before the reception, we're standing outside on the beautiful lakefront having cocktails. It's a beautiful...
That's an incredible view.
...evening. Mm-hmm. It's one amazing view. It's wonderful. Until a seagull flies above you. And
somebody got pooped on.
I got pooped on.
Wow. Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, they say that's good luck in certain countries.
That's what they always say when terrible things happen to you.
My daughter spent a semester abroad. I think I told you this last week. She was in Italy, and they were at the Vatican, and she and several of her friends from college got pooped on by a special, I suppose they're pigeons. I don't know what flies around the Vatican, but they must have been holy pigeons, because as soon as it happened, a bunch of nuns came out and cleaned the girls up.
Wow.
Didn't speak a word of English.
There's like a pigeon poop watch there.
Yeah. Who's on pigeon poop watch? Yeah. Gladys,
nuns,
you're up.
Nuns did not clean me up at this wedding.
All right, a couple of stories here. BTS taking a break.
BTS, the biggest boy band in the world. They've been on tour. They've actually been working nonstop since 2013 when they first started.
Well, they deserve it.
Been on tour. They've been recording. They were just at Soldier Field for sold-out shows. But they announced over the weekend that they are going to be taking an extended hiatus, a period of rest and relaxation, Steve.
They got to count their money, too.
They have to count their money, and they want a chance to live like ordinary 20-year-olds.
Well, I mean...
Which means they'll be getting tattoos and side jobs at Starbucks.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You know, they're created in this Korean factory, like, since they were
young.
Well,
it's young. The same formula like as the guy in Florida that did the Backstreet Boys and all those guys, right?
But it's elevated because it's in Korea, so it's, like, extra crazy and strict, and they're not allowed to live where they want to live, and they have to be roommates, and they have to constantly practice for hours.
All of us on this show, same thing.
This segment is rehearsed 75 times each day.
We all live together.
In a commune.
Yep.
Well, listen, whatever BTS needs.
Speaking of Backstreet Boys, they were at the United Center on Saturday night and killed it.
Can I just say we need to start calling them Backstreet Men? I mean, they're not Backstreet Boys anymore. They're in their 40s, for crying out loud.
They've been together for 26 years.
Yeah, they're the Backstreet Men.
They've been performing that long. So the Backstreet...
And they'll be together until they're old people, and then they'll be the Backstreet Elderly.
Yeah, probably. But they have not missed a beat.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Did anyone break a hip when they were doing their choreography?
Not one. No.
So, Dean, you were there. You watched the concert?
I watched the videotape of the concert.
Ah, okay. Wow.
Dean gets everywhere. What did John Legend do?
John Legend doing something very nice for the victims, the families, the people affected by the mass shootings that took place. He visited. He's from Ohio and grew up just about a half an hour away from where the shooting took place in Dayton. And he put on a small concert there just for the victims' families, sang songs. He urged people to contact their lawmakers about doing something about what he said are preventable traumas. He said, we can fix this together. And so, you know, that was very nice. And Lady Gaga also over the weekend doing something nice for people who were affected by the shootings. She announced that her foundation will provide full, complete funding for 162 classrooms in Dayton, El Paso, and Gilroy, California, where the Garlic Festival shooting took place.
Well, that's great.
She said that, you know, what can you say about these things? And she wants to channel her frustration and her confusion about all of this into hope for the kids, to make it easy for the kids to go back to school. So, you know, funding will be there for them no matter what.
G and Vivian, I don't know if Mary is, certainly Steve, they're all devastated by the breakup of Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah, I am too.
Now, which Hemsworth is Liam?
Liam is, he was...
the big tall one.
He was in the Hunger Games.
Oh, okay.
He's not Thor. He's not Mighty Thor. That's his brother, Chris.
I do all of Thor's stunt work, as you know.
And ab work.
Yeah.
Steve is an ab double for
that's exactly
Chris Hemsworth. Miley and Liam got married last December after a very on and off relationship over the past... about 7 years or so. I mean, they dated, they got engaged, they broke up, they dated, got engaged, broke up, and then this past December surprised everybody when they just went ahead and got married. But over the weekend, a spokesperson issued a statement saying that Liam and Miley have agreed to separate, ever-evolving, changing as partners and individuals. They've decided this is what's best while they focus on themselves and their careers.
Yeah, because people in show business don't do that enough.
Focus on themselves.
Yeah.
They say that they have that they will remain dedicated parents to all of their animals.
And they're going
to
remain friends.
Yeah, but they don't say that. Mm. But they say they'll be dedicated parents to all their animals. So, in the meantime... you know, Miley, this statement was, you know, the ink wasn't even dry on this statement. Miley Cyrus is seen vacationing with a social influencer by the name of Caitlyn Carter, who just ended her marriage to Brody Jenner. They are pictured on a beach making out.
Making out for the sake of the cameras or making out, making out?
It looked like, I don't know, I guess it looked like making out to me.
And Lake Como.
Yeah, well, you know, it reminds me of that old song, if, you know, get your nookie where you got it. You know, thinking, let's do a little bit of that, Dean. One, two, three.
Get your nookie where you got it.
What is this?
Wow.
It's a song, get your nookie
Two different melodies.
Oh, wow.
Hard to believe with all the rehearsal.
Yeah, I know.
So then this guy, Brody Jenner, who got dumped by Caitlyn Carter, he goes on social media and puts a picture of him and Chris Hemsworth up, saying, you're going to see us walking hand in hand on the beach soon.
That's funny.
Miley Cyrus sees that and replies, go take a nap in your truck and cool off. Hashtag hot girl summer.
Nah, 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 nah. Yeah, this hashtag hot girl summer has been everywhere this summer.
Miley, incredibly talented. She's nuts.
She's a little bizarre, that one.
She's fluid.
She's got her own personality, that's for sure.
She's Hannah Montana. She'll always be Hannah Montana to me.
So, well, I mean, honestly, I'm not surprised about this breakup. Why are you guys surprised?
How could you be normal if you grew up as Miley Cyrus?
Listen, I'm not saying I'm surprised, but I'm just sad because I like them both, and I thought Liam was good for Miley because Liam is that kind of stoic,
stable,
Australian.
A little more stable.
Yes, right, grounded, yeah. Right, Dean? Right. Don't you think?
Well, doesn't this open an opportunity for you?
With Liam?
Yeah, because he calls all the time.
Hardly. Yeah.
They're not interested?
20, no. He's not interested in me, Steve.
No, you're not interested. Is he not your type?
Got to put yourself out there.
No. But you know what? He was, it did say that he's heartbroken. He said, you don't understand what it's like. He told Daily Mail Australia.
Vivian just said in my head that she's more than willing to dump her boyfriend in California if Liam calls her.
I know. I mean,
that's sweet.
I mean, and he's part of
that's not what I said.
He's part of an acting dynasty.
Yeah, that's okay, Viv.
That's very sweet.
Well, you know,
in I agree with Steve about the stability of Miley Cyrus.
Right.
Liam seems to be a nice guy. I've interviewed him a couple of times. Miley Cyrus seems to be a very nice person. Yeah. When I've interviewed her a couple of times, but you know, who knows what goes into that? But I will say this. Being in a relationship when you are that high profile cannot be easy.
No, it can't.
Well, look at how people talk about Dean and I.
Yeah, I mean, I've been high profile
relationship.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's thrilling to be part of this.
Yeah.
I mean, with you too here.
I think Miley Cyrus snapped when her father, Billy Ray Cyrus, sang Achy Breaky Heart 9 million times.
Yeah, that's got to scare you when you're a little baby and that's your bedtime lullaby.
Achy breaky heart.
No,
go to sleep
heart.
Right now.
Achy breaky heart.
You sound a little bit like her.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? All right, Dean, thank you for whatever it is we do on
it
Moron Entertainment.
Always a pleasure.
And we're back with the headlines next, 720 WG.
I just want to say it's a special tune for your birthday. And in these station walls,
And through these station halls, it's you, it's true. The best, no doubt. You make us smile, you make us laugh. You're Andrea.
Got a history on this show of celebrating birthdays late, usually about a week late. Gee, when's your birthday?
April 23rd.
Make a note of that, so we'd already be about 6 months late, 5 months late. I can't tell you, Mary Vanderbilt gets stuck with doing all the baking. When was the last time we celebrated a birthday on time?
I can't recall.
Last week.
What was last week?
It was Pam Jones' birthday on Friday.
No, but that's the station celebration. I'm talking about the failures of this show.
This show specifically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just don't think we do it on time.
March 14th? I feel like we celebrated a birthday on March 14th on time.
Was that on time? My birthday?
Oh, that was your birthday. Oh.
Well, it's also Crystal and Quincy Jones and Albert Einstein. But, you know, yeah, me.
And we're also reminded of it, like, for 5 weeks prior.
Well, that's got to stop.
Oh, wait. You're one of those people. You're one of those
people. He inadvertently does it.
That talks.
I accidentally bring up my birthday occasionally. Yeah. So the reason I bring all this up is my own guilt. Because Andrea Darlis, for years, would always be the person that would get psyched for birthdays. She'd pump us all up. She'd make Mary bake against her will. She'd decorate the studios.
Yeah, she had this. We had the same birthday sign for years. I don't know what happened to it.
So I'm not concerned about the fact that Mark Carmen's birthday was yesterday, and we had a chance last week to wish him happy birthday. We blew it. Mark Carmen could have brought it up at any point, conversationally.
Yeah, of course.
Could have brought a cake but himself.
It would be beneath him to do that.
So happy birthday, Mark Carmen, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But joining us now on the phone is a fine member of the University of Illinois staff, and occasionally still heard on this radio station, the birthday girl, Andrea Darlis. Are you ever going to forgive me?
Hey, I am not kidding you. I got so many wonderful wishes yesterday, and I was like, I have not heard from Steve Cochran.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Listen, I don't doubt it. I mean, listen, I apologize to you for always getting birthdays right, and on your birthday, I blew it. I'm sorry about that.
But you know what, though? Going by your track record, which was awesome, we always celebrated my birthday pretty much on time.
Yeah. Until this year.
It was on a Sunday.
Oh, now I'm officially not forgotten.
No. So did you have a good birthday?
I did. I went kayaking, and guess what I got, Steve?
I don't know.
A new set of golf clubs.
Whoa, now you're talking.
Now I have time, and we can play.
What kind of what are you swinging now?
I'm swinging a Cobra now.
Oh, very nice. You love those. Very nice.
I went back to the Cobras.
Good. They missed you.
Andre, you didn't go kayaking on the Chicago River again, did you?
No, I told the story of you when you were yelling at me when we went kayaking.
We went one time. No, it was Andrea's fault. She decided to take a picture while standing in the kayak, and we almost tipped over, and you know our shoes already stunk from the river cunt.
Well, there was some sort of media thing, right? Or was it just a general population thing? I just remember you just making it miserable, Mary.
I did not. You weren't there.
Right. I think Cochran and Ennett heard you from the Tribune Tower going,
mm-hmm. Sit down!
What are you doing?
Right. Some truth in that.
It's hilarious.
Hey, you know what G said this morning? She goes, oh, I can't believe you forgot Andrea's birthday. I love Andrea.
Hi, Andrea.
You said that, G?
Of course. You know I love you, and I just said that I'd known you for a long time, and then when I was starting out in the business that you were always so generous and kind, when I was just a lowly field producer out in the field working at ABC, you would be generous with, speaking to me and acknowledging me. And
oh, come on. You
seriously.
Are awesome. I remember Steve G and our friend Carmaine from Channel 2 and I, we went to a Hawks game one time. And I think you might have even set it up many years ago. And we were in the booth, and it was the first time we ever saw the dessert cart. And I think we went back, six times, G?
Oh, that was
We kept
was
going
amazing.
Back. We're like, oh, we must have missed
yes.
that.
In the sweets, yeah.
It was so nice.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm glad you had a great birthday. And since I blew it, what do you want for your birthday? You might as well just tell me what you want, and I'll go get it now.
Ooh, money is no object.
Oh, fantastic.
And he always has a 20, you know it.
I'll take that. That's fine.
Oh, $20? All right, $20. When do you have another one of you?
I got to lunch nowadays.
When do you have another one of your University of Illinois people you want a blatant plug for? Just call us.
Oh, well, the chancellor is speaking at the City Club. I arranged for him to speak at the City Club next Tuesday.
Okay. Well, bring the chancellor.
So why don't you guys all come? Yeah, oh, I will. In fact, you know, last time I came in, I know you had something with a reunion that you were going to, but I brought you guys, I brought you a White Sox hat with an Illini logo, and I brought you a bunch of swag, but I want to say Enid took it all.
No, no, no. It's sitting
with there's Super not Joe. Much chance that happened.
No. It's sitting with Super Joe right now.
Orange goes with purple.
Andre, you miss Steve, don't you? You miss everybody?
I do. I miss you guys every single day, and I'm not kidding. And I listen to you pretty much every morning. Well, and I hate this commute in now because I have to sit in the rush hour.
Well, we miss you back, but think about this. She now has to listen to everybody because she's got to get her University of Illinois people on every station. She's got to get them on TV. She's got to get them on the radio. She's got to get interviews with them. She's got to listen to everybody. And by the way, this used to be the best radio market in the country for talent. There's a lot of crap out there now. And poor Andrea has to listen to a lot of it.
You're still my favorite.
All right. That's what I wanted to hear. Listen,
you guys will always
I love
be
you.
My favorite.
I'm sorry
you.
About your birthday. I will make it up to you. I'm just not sure how.
Okay, good. We'll go to lunch soon and celebrate.
All right,
we'll go play golf.
Yeah, that's even better. All right, you've made a good chance you'll find
Happy
me on a golf course.
Happy birthday. Miss you, girl.
There you go. That's Andre Darlis.
I can deliver the cash.
Buddy. The 20?
Yeah, I can deliver that. What you can count on me.
Don't you charge 20 to deliver a 20?
Well, we can worry about the details later, but if you just give me the cash.
She's not that far.
I've not talked to her much since she got her big shot University of Illinois job. Does she like it?
She loves it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
But she really misses you, Steve.
Well, that's nice. I miss you back. But does she like getting up and not getting up at
no,
4 a.m. or 3 a.m.?
No, she says it's great.
Yeah, of course
yeah.
she does.
Yeah. Sleeping in. Man,
this is G's,
love that.
This is G6 day. She's already thinking about bailing.
I plead the fifth.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Come on to my house, I'm going to give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm going to give you apple plum.
Is Airbnb the worst name for an incredibly successful company? Airbnb is not a great name.
You don't think so?
Well, I mean, now you know what it is.
Yes, true.
But if you didn't know what it was...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Did you know what Uber was?
I thought it was a skin problem, right? Oh, you got the Uber.
But the Uber sounds good because it's like the Uber, like the bestest, the mostest.
Yeah, I think that's what they
greatest.
Were going for.
Yeah. But you're right. Airbnb, I never thought about it. Bed and breakfast?
Yeah,
like an air?
Yeah, air bed.
It should be
sounds
in the
like
air.
Something on a plane.
Air
it
bed and
yeah.
breakfast.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It should be an airplane.
Having said that, they're worth $1 billion. And I mean literally $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some communities where it's not okay to Airbnb, which brings
right.
me to this story. You've been in Manhattan Beach, California. You know, it's a delightful little community, oddly enough, in Southern California, on a beach or near it in Manhattan Beach. I had a good friend who used to live there.
Oh, nice.
It's a delightful community. Frustrated homeowners and renters from the El Puerto neighborhood were upset because one of their neighbors decided to Airbnb the home that she did not live in. Her name's Catherine Kidd. She used the property for short-term rentals like Airbnb. That's illegal in Manhattan Beach. The community has said, we don't want any of your stinking strangers
riff-raff.
Coming in here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was fined for violating the city's rental laws, so she decided, well, I guess I'll repaint the house.
Mm-hmm.
And she had the house repainted bubblegum pink with yellow emojis. Now, Manhattan Beach is quirky enough where I thought, this probably it's not that big a deal. But here's what the emojis do. The emojis, some in the community say, are mocking. An emoji on the duplex's top floor shows a smiling face with its tongue sticking out and eyes looking in different directions. I assume that means you're crazy.
Right.
Okay. There's another emoji on the floor below, which has lips together and zipper across the mouth, which I assume means shut up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, be quiet, shut up.
Seems like there's a message there. All this being done by a well-known artist, Z the Art, posted a photo of the painted home on his Instagram account and with the hashtag eyelash extensions and the emoji house. I mean, you're looking at those pictures. What do you think?
I don't mind it, but I mean, I guess there are rules and regulations, like housing, like aren't there rules? Like, you live in a nice community on a golf course.
Oh, yeah,
I guess
no.
you can't do that, right? You can't paint your house bright.
No, we once had to take down a basketball hoop in the
See,
driveway.
That's a little bit like a dictatorship there.
It had gotten a little beaten up.
Ooh, wow.
And I had somebody else who reported me because my driveway needed to be redone.
Really?
Yeah.
What was going on with your driveway?
Well, it was a blacktop driveway, and it needed to be resealed, and I put it off for a while. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't risking anyone's health or an eyesore.
Right.
So anyway, I put in a concrete driveway. So if you live in those communities, point is, no matter how ridiculous neighbors can be, you are subject to some rules that you have to follow.
Yes. I don't think it's good if your neighbor ends up becoming a hoarder and like starts a junkyard in the front yard or something like
not
that.
Great. Anyway, they're still fighting about this in Manhattan Beach. I'm more interested in the artist.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Z, the art. And the artist in particular, Bobby Rodriguez, who joins us now. Bobby, are you in California?
Yeah, actually, I'm in here in L.A.
All right. So how often do you get hired to emoji paint?
Actually, that was the first. I never get hired to do emojis. Usually, it's a little bit more graphic or business sign-related stuff. But I do murals quite often.
The bright pink background with the emojis, is that something where the owner said, come up with something interesting, and you pitched it?
No, actually, she had like a set of emojis ready for me to design her own emoji from. She had about 3 or 4 emojis kind of set on paper, and she was like, hey, I want this and that clashed together. And I went home and I designed it and gave it back to her within like 2 hours.
Now, this thing has blown up so viral. I got to believe people around the country want you to do this.
Yeah, I've had a few calls, but no one really serious. I mean, people got to take into consideration materials, time, travel.
Sure.
Now, did you have any idea the owner's intentions or motivations behind wanting you to paint these emojis on her house?
Not to the extreme. It was really vague.
Oh, so you weren't quite let in on the whole picture.
Yeah, and you know, you're not wrapped up in the Airbnb thing. You're just doing your job as a painter.
I'm not, yeah.
Yeah, you're just doing your job.
Exactly. I was just answering an ad that said they wanted some artwork on the walls, and that's exactly what I did.
All right, is there anything more ridiculous than this that you've had to paint before?
Actually, no. Most of my artwork is pretty meaningful or for restaurants or have some kind of a insight, but no, this has probably got to be the funniest, easiest job I've ever done.
So, do you recommend emojis on homes?
Actually, I currently do. I really do right now. If you have any kind of custom emoji ideas, I'd be more than happy to take up any kind of walls that are being offered.
So there you go.
There's a budget.
the photo we have is actually black and white, but as I understand, the home is bright pink and the emojis are yellow?
Yeah, the home was painted pink when I arrived, and the emojis are yellow. There's like a traditional gradient of yellows and orange with highlights, and they're pretty colorful if you take a look at them.
Now, the homeowner claims that she wasn't trying to send a message at all, and by the way, she didn't use the FU. Yeah, it could have been worse.
Sorry, I don't know if I can say that online.
Yeah, it's fine. You got it. Yeah, they're all out there. They're all out there. What's it cost to do an emoji paint job? I know it's different in the size and what you want done, but what's a ballpark number?
This one was roughly about $3,000.
That's pretty good now, dude.
Okay.
That's a good day at work.
Steve, you were going to get an emoji.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Which emoji would you get?
I don't know, but I'm calling my man Z.
Okay.
My man Z. I'm going to fly him in from L.A. I'm going to set him up. I'm even going to put the scaffolding
He's
up.
He's going to fly you in first class.
You're going to fly in first class.
No, don't tease me.
Yes, and you're going to come into Chicago, which is great. Have you been to Chicago?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I was actually there just 2017 doing a tour with some social media.
It's a great
big social media company.
It is. You know, it'd be cool. It would be cool if he did emojis, say, all the way up the side of the new Tribune Tower that we were asked to vacate.
You have one in mind there, Steve?
That's what I'm saying. Hey, Bobby, you've got a website we can send people to?
Yeah, ztheart.com, or you guys can check out my Instagram at ztheart on IG, and my website has links to all my stuff, and I have a few other media and publicized items that are on there.
Cool. ztheart.com. Thanks for getting up. All right, so what sort of emoji would you have painted on your house?
I like the mind blown emoji.
What's that one?
It's like, it's like the mind is blown.
Yeah, your hands are like out to the side.
Well, no, the brain is like
the brain
particles.
Is being blown. Oh.
Yeah. So it's like you're just so.
Dave, you got an emoji you want on your house?
I don't really leave my house. I don't see myself being an emoji.
I speak in emojis all the time.
Yeah, I don't know from emojis. So I don't know what I should get. But if I'm flying this guy in, he's going to do some work.
I agree.
How about the little the little guy with is blowing the kiss. I could see that on your house.
You think that'd be good for me?
Yeah, I think it'd be good.
With a little heart over the mouth.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I hope both of you are happy with the ideas you're coming up with. You know, look, anything's possible now, and I think it's pretty clear this particular owner is sending a message to the Manhattan Beach City Council or whatever it might be called there.
I think so.
And the message is, leave me alone.
I used to do Airbnb, but I'm wary of it now. Now that you've seen those reports where people go Airbnb and then they discover that there's a hidden camera in the, you know.
Well, I've always wondered about stuff like that. I mean, it's, you still have to count on the honorable side,
right,
of the person you're renting from, but you're renting from a stranger.
Yes. And then I've had friends who do Airbnb and the owner is still there while they're renting it in a different part of the house.
And so, they keep coming in and going, right, hey, don't touch that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm on the condo board for my condo association, and we just passed rules that you can't do Airbnb at all. Because the owners who are there, who are, you know, live there, do not want renters even temporarily in the building. It was a big deal.
Well, but because it's not a hotel, you know, right. You're vetted as a resident in some form when you buy the place,
and you know all the rules. Yeah. You're supposed to know all the rules,
right?
But it's a great way if you want to save a little bit of money and you need a, you know, you could get a big house with a bunch of friends and then actually be able to do a vacation for an extended amount of time. Depending on the seasons, but I don't know. I'm torn about it now.
Ross and Lauren, before they had Abigail, were on a trip and with us, and then they went off to Rome, sort of a second honeymoon kind of thing. After they've been married for 10 minutes, they Airbnb'd, and because you know I'm who I am, I thought, why don't you go to a hotel?
Well, I think the thing is, you just have to look at all the reviews and make sure.
Well, it went fine. It went fine. But I'm thinking, you're in a foreign country. These are strangers. They probably don't speak a lot of English, maybe some. Where am I wrong here? Turns out I was wrong about all of it. All right, here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to get Dr. Scrubs, followed by a top hat, maybe a crown. An adapter and an umbrella, and then have people try to figure out why I put all that crap on my house.
Does it mean anything?
Nope, not a thing.
Well, because you know there are the emojis mean certain things, so you better be careful. Just run it by me, especially when it comes to vegetables.
You are
the
my...
vegetables mean different things.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You're my emoji expert.
The peach, and I believe, what's the other one?
Oh, let's not go there. Eggplant.
The eggplant. Yeah.
Yeah, we went through this with the eggplant trauma, remember?
Steve wanted to go there.
Yeah, Pete Zimmerman had eggplants being dropped off mysteriously in his front yard. So a lot of people thought it was because of what the eggplant means.
He wasn't part of one of those farmer co-op things.
I don't know
where the vegetables. I could see Pete being part of that, like, you know, like getting a box of vegetables dropped off. You know,
yeah,
the funny part of this is, if I were on my deathbed tonight, this would be one of my big regrets in life, not knowing what the heck was going on at Pete's house.
Right, we still don't know. We still don't know. I think it's a mob thing.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Broadway in Chicago getting it done again. Now, again, is a very limited engagement at the CIBC Theater. 12 weeks. Dear Evan Hansen. Missed it? Come back. See it now. Don't miss it again.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying?
It's good.
And joining us in studio with his many-peopled posse is Stephen Christopher Anthony, future Tony winner. I don't want to put that kind of pressure on you. But lean into that mic or pull it close to you there.
You got it.
Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having
me. How much fun is work for you?
It's the joy of my life.
It's not so much work.
No. It's so much fun. Every time I get to go onto the stage in that polo is very special.
I mean, do you go AWOL a lot? Because he has a lot of people wrangling him.
Yeah, it's true. You know, that's funny. These guys are like looking at you like you're about to say something they don't want to hear.
Oh, they're very
There's
nervous.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure.
And I might.
All right, so we talked about this a little bit off the air, but every actor wants to get that call for that life-changing role. This must be it, right?
Oh, yeah. This is the dream. I mean, so many people called me after I announced that I was going on tour with Evan Hansen, and they were like, I remember when we were talking a year ago, I asked you, what's the one thing you wish you could be doing right now? And my answer was always Evan Hansen. So this is my dream.
And it was when you met the originator of the role. His name is?
Ben Platt.
Ben Platt, the Tony winner.
Yes, sir.
Does that increase the pressure? I mean, I know you guys became pals, but there's a lot of actors who would say, I don't want to see that because I got to bring my thing to that. And well, it's hard to miss it, of course.
Yeah, when I first saw the show, I had no idea that I was going to do it.
Okay, so you're just a fan.
So I was just a fan, and I went and talked to him afterwards, and I remember saying, how do you do this every single day? It's got to be so difficult. And he was like, yeah, I watch a lot of cartoons. I try to keep it light in between. You know, not having no idea that 2 years later I'd be doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. How do we tell the story of Dear Evan Hansen without a spoiler alert time here?
Yeah, you don't want to give it away. It's one of those shows that's it's kind of good to go into knowing not a lot about it. It takes a lot of really fun twists and turns. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite parts about it is hearing the audience audibly gasp and go, mm-hmm. oh,
right.
When it takes
so that's what you're up to.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a show about this 17-year-old. It's his first day of his senior year. He's had a very tough time. He's dealing with social anxiety, some depression, and, you know, things we've all dealt with, feeling alone, feeling like, how do we fit in? And he is really determined to make this a good year, and he just gets caught up in this total whirlwind of accidents and mishaps and lies, and he just doesn't have the tools to get him out of it, and so he digs himself deeper and deeper into it.
A small lie turns into a really, really big lie.
A mountain of it.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, without giving too much away, he sort of realizes that because he's made this mistake, he has the chance to turn it into something good and to give a gift to these people who he's wronged. And that just digs him deeper and deeper. So, but it ultimately, it becomes the show that's just about finding hope and letting each other in and leaning on each other.
Well, it's good. I mean, the contemporary topics that are tackled here, right? The bullying, sadness, depression, all of that rings true with people. So what do you want people to feel like when they leave?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the really special thing about it is that it deals with those things in a really realistic way. It doesn't tie up everything in a perfect bow at the end.
Because life's not that way.
Life's not that way. It just says, you know, not everything's going to be perfect all the time, but not everything's going to be terrible, and you're going to be okay. You're going to find a way through it, and you're not alone in it. And I think that's the biggest thing that people are walking away from going, oh my God, that's me on the stage. I've been there. And just the chance to see yourself reflected in that way, I think gives people a lot of hope. And it walks you, you walk away with this feeling of like, I'm gonna hold on and I'm gonna keep going because this show showed me that I can. That's what people are saying over and over again. It's this saved me. This,
which is fabulous, right? You're not getting that in every corner on Broadway.
No, it's
right?
So rare to be a part of something that's this
that actually moves people and inspires people. You know, here's a stupid question for you. Some of the greatest music in a long time comes from this show. The greatest Broadway music in a long
agreed.
Time.
Agreed. Yeah.
Some of it's pretty emotional.
Yeah.
So as an actor, to be true to the role, how do you avoid being emotional while you're singing the songs? Again, that's a rookie question.
I don't. You know, I don't shy away from it. I mean, it's kind of a scary thing, but I'm doing the best that I can to really bring something that's true about Steven to each of the songs. So if, you know, the emotion overtakes me, then that's great. That's the gift that I can offer.
It's a great moment.
Yeah.
But going along with what Steve is saying, the physicality of the role, just sort of the tears, and then there's snot. There's, I mean, how do you overcome all of that?
By the way, who plays snot in this?
Right, no, but I mean, like, how do you keep? There's a lot,
that's a beautiful mystery. I wish I had a great answer to that. I tell myself every day my job is just to walk on stage and say the words, and the show is just so moving that it really overtakes me. Like the audience is having an experience that it's kind of overcoming them with an emotion, but I'm having my own.
Steve, did you cry? Experience. Did you tear up?
I cry. I'm going to cry during this interview. I'm a big sap.
I think that every parent with a child in middle school and high school, and if you are in middle school or high school, I think this would be quite poignant for them to go see.
So absolutely. I mean, what's really cool about it is there's 8 very different characters on stage from all walks of life. Everybody's going through something different on stage, so I think everybody in the audience sees themselves. But yeah, I mean, it's also a great conversation starter. We had I had a man come up to me after the show, a father in Durham, North Carolina, who said it was his second time seeing the show, and he said after I walked out last time, he said, I have 5 sons. They weren't even up to show. He said, I got all 5 of them on the phone and had the most honest conversation we've ever had about mental health.
Wow.
And about you know, being there for each other. And he was like, this changed my family. This changed the way that we talk to each other.
Wow. Well, we have to. You know, if I do one sermon here again and again, it's this. Mental illness affects everybody. Depression affects everybody. Mm-hmm. I've had clinical depression for most of my life. And, you know, at 58 years old, it's not something that you identified in the 70s when I was growing up as a kid or right. in the 80s. And we got to talk about it like heart disease and cancer and everything else and treat yeah. it with the appropriate seriousness of it and stop telling people to snap out of it. Yeah. You don't snap out of it.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So I think this is something that is a lot more prevalent than people realize. And most people are just sitting alone with it and going, I don't know what to do. So yeah, it feels really, really special that we get a chance to.
It's a gutsy topic to
start
take on.
The conversation,
especially yeah. with how complicated too the worlds of kids in middle school and high school sure. are, especially with social media. And that's just, I mean, I can't even imagine growing up with social media.
Well, because of the topic though, what's your cartoons? What do you go to lighten things up when you go, you know, after the show?
I'm watching
got something stupid on YouTube you're watching,
Bob's
I hope?
Burgers, South Park.
There you
just
go.
Anything that's going to make me laugh and, right. and yeah.
Does it take a while to wind down?
At first it did, not necessarily anymore. The show ends with, well, I don't want to give any.
No, I don't.
But it, you know, it does wrap up with this idea, because I did this, maybe somebody else will have an easier time.
Right.
Maybe somebody else will feel less alone. And for me, that's a nice way to, kind of close that emotional purging that I've done for 2 hours.
Now, you know, there's no hurry to end this role, but you will do other jobs as your career goes on.
Yeah, hopefully, knock on wood.
I would think the next one's got to be something stupid and light. Do you need help finding them?
I hope so. Let me know if you have anything for me.
I mean,
Porky's the musical.
You've yeah. already done Book of Mormon, so.
I did Book of Mormon okay. for a few years.
Now, will Ben Platt ever see you in this role? Or
Ben
has
Platt
he?
Ben Platt actually saw me okay. early on in L.A., yeah.
Wow.
No pressure, right?
Did you know he was there?
He didn't. He didn't tell me. He told me that his sister was there, and that was pressure enough.
Because you go, she's going to go tell Ben.
Right. She's going to report back everything.
And then he shows up backstage?
Yeah.
Oh, you must
I had no idea
attack.
Until the end of the show.
He have any you? Notes?
Yeah.
No, he was very sweet. He was very, very generous. He's a very nice guy.
When you're talking to him and you're honored that he's there, are you going through your head, oh my God, what did I screw up? What did he see? What did
100%.
He see? 100%. Yeah, of course. Well, it's great to meet you. I'm thrilled for your success.
Thank
and
you so much.
It's a wonderful show, and I really think everybody should see it. And by the way, including if you got a kid in high school who doesn't want to deal with their struggle, like you said, this individual dad, I think, is a great piece mm-hmm. because it might tell you how to talk to your own kids.
Absolutely.
So, good man.
Thanks
for being
much.
Here.
Thanks
and
for
thanks
me.
To your posse.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And we'll be at Broadway in Chicago, Millennium Park tonight, singing some songs from the show.
Yeah, because your job's not hard enough, so go outside. Dear Evan Hansen, all across whatever social media platform you pick, and also BroadwayInChicago.com for tickets. There's some premium tickets available. The prices are really good. It's not like, you know, New York where you're paying $9,000 for the bad seats. There's some great seats here at the CIBC Theater still, but don't let it go by and have you miss it. Started on July 7th, goes through September 27th.
And one more plug for the summer concert, right tonight. What time?
Tonight at 6:15.
In Grand Park?
Millennium Park.
Millennium Park. Well, that's right next yeah. door. It's part of the bigger park
okay,
situation.
Okay, great.
Close to the bean? Whatever it takes. Nice to see you.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it. Don't read it.
All week long, I'm featuring the stuff that will definitely give you a heart attack and kill you at state fairs around America. At the Nebraska State Fair, you can get the pancake burger. Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy. The pancake
Morning.
Burger. It's similar to a donut burger, but it's pancakes instead of bread. And then you put cheese, tomatoes, lettuce, whatever, squished in between two pancakes. Syrup is optional.
So good.
Not a
Can't
good
eat
mix.
Just one. A couple of those.
You know, you look like you like a giant gummy bear.
I'd love a giant gummy bear. How big are we talking?
He looks like a giant gummy bear.
Ouch. Yeah.
It's a 5-inch tall cherry gummy bear deep fried in vanilla or chocolate batter before being stuck on a stick at the Ohio State Fair.
That's the one thing you know don't need to deep fry is a gummy bear. It stands on its own, don't you think?
How about taco cheesecake?
That
Which, by the way, that was your name when you danced, wasn't
yes,
it, Wendy?
It was.
Taco cheesecake? Before it hits a deep fryer, a tortilla shell stuffed with cream cheese. After coming out of the fryer, it's topped with cinnamon sugar and whipped cream and then drizzled with chocolate, strawberry, or caramel sauce.
I'd do that.
In other words, super healthy.
Yeah, it's healthy for you. It's good tasting.
Right. So if you have a stick, Somebody's putting something on it. We'll come back and talk to you guys more about whatever it is you do for a living in a second. But first, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve is next. Ah, just talking about how much fun I am at a party. It's 10 o'clock. And G, thank you.
Thank you.
Dave, thank you.
Thank you.
Viv, I'm on the fence. Joe, thank you. Steve Grzanich, who's no longer in the chair, thank you. Steve Bertrand, thank you for what you're about to do.
Oh, don't welcome. Thank him yet.
And Mary Vandeville, thank you.
My mother thanks you. My father thanks you. And most of all, I thank you.
Hey, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
It's a load of crap.
Does Wayne Newton's monkey thank you?
You know, I was in a band called Wayne Newton's Monkey. A lot of people don't remember that band, but it was good. What are you guys doing today?
Talking about Wayne Newton's monkey.
Yeah. For most of the show, but not all the show. Also, Cindy Crawford is getting slammed online for a strange reason.
Ooh.
How could you slam Cindy Crawford?
How can I don't know.
She's perfect. She is the most naturally beautiful person ever.
True story. I was in a, remember Planet Hollywood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I was in the New York City Planet Hollywood.
Oh, ritzy.
I'm not minding my, you know, I'm not hurting anybody, minding my own business. She walked in and literally stopped the restaurant. Now, this is right in her, you know, it's probably early 90s, late 80s.
Yeah.
She stopped the restaurant. I mean, men, women, children.
Sure.
Everybody turning around and watching her walk.
She had restaurants stopping good looks. Didn't she? That's how I always described her.
Yeah.
From DeKalb, right?
Yeah.
DeKalb Zone.
DeKalb Zone Cindy Crawford.
All right.
In that supermodel section of DeKalb. Oh. Did ever go to that section? It's all supermodels?
Yeah.
I tried to get in, but...
By Annie Glidden Road.
If you don't know the area, you don't know how funny that is. All of that and a monkey too starts right now.